From fact to fiction.
August. That's miles away. Nearly 2 months. Could be nearly 3 months. I mean, BP, journalists, everyone. They don't say start of August, end of August. It's just vague. Terrible and vague. August and possibly a permanent solution. Maybe. Vagueness and maybes and, of course, terror being a source of stress. I myself have no stress, because I am absolutely certain. I have precisely 3 weeks, look at them, draining away. 3 weeks before I am no longer a human resources administrator for PPFCGB, before I am redundant, before all of us. No more human resources, so no more administration. No more positive commitment to ethical and legal guidelines or change management based on aspirations indicative of mutual respect. Just change, which is stressful. And worry, which is worrying. And kind of weird. I mean, the things I end up worrying about. Small things, I suppose, that stop me thinking of the big things. Small concerns like, what will they do with our solar panels? It took ages to fit them on the office roof. Because it's all done with here. These days I mainly potter about on the internet while looking as if I am still making a valuable contribution to the company's ongoing spread of opportunities and growth. Mainly, I watch The Spill. Live oil spill cam day 45. Running total on the website of all of the barrels and barrels pouring upwards. Well, estimated total. Very vague estimates. Quite stressful. No way, apparently, to calculate the final damage beyond knowing it will be punitive. Monstrous. But meanwhile, there it is. Unreachable, but I can see. The source made manifest, so much visible wrongness blossoming in that soft, dark plume. Insoluble. Rising from the blue-green shadows at 5,000 feet like a clouded fire. And there are glimpses of equipment sometimes with bright yellow jaws, or else you can see these slow little robot arms doing not very much. And there are structures, metal remains, I suppose, from the explosion. Things the workers might have seen, touched, been used to before the accident. Nobody talks much about the workers, they're just the workers. Hard to find out their names. Just 11 dead human beings with relatives and people who loved them, I would assume. I don't think about them adequately myself. Not the injured, not the dead. In many ways, I'm much more worried about the dolphins. The birds. Such lovely birds there on the Gulf. We went once. Albatrosses and ibises, pelicans, flamingos. Exotic. Frigate birds, even. And puffins. Arthur, my husband, he was a twitcher. I never quite saw the point myself. But it's the puffins back in Scotland, I remember. Tiny, fat things. Put me in mind of bees. Skimming the water beside our boat. Wings. Frantic. As if flying's an act of will for them. This desperate kind of hope. Gliding, though, up by cliffs. The Isle of May, that was. Then they looked joyful. Like joy. That's part of the problem, I think. Not many human beings you see like that, doing exactly what they're meant for, what fits, and being therefore beautiful. That's an HR failure right there, of catastrophic proportions, and it makes us unappealing. Being animals that need so many resources and take so many resources and then end up being resources, we are so rarely at our best. We don't get to see others at their best, and then when it really comes to it, we don't do our best. We only hope for the best, and that's not the same. We don't end up flying. We just make mistakes. Plus, you meet far more people than you do puffins, and people are silly and noisy and demanding, and they do not plan effectively for the future or listen well or understand when you explain to them, all of them, for weeks, that in a time which was already economically dire, our company's investment in Florida waterfront real estate did not represent a prudent diversification, more an act of suicide. And meanwhile, their pension provision, mine too, may not be ultimately as we'd wish, what with formerly dependable share prices taking a bit of a dip. So many things connected, you see, to so many other things, as in nature. And when the one tumbles, down it all falls. Delicate. The lost life. You can't get it back. The spill, the oil, it gives them kidney failure. Kills their livers. The puffins. Not too sure about the people. Although they're trying to stop it, naturally, the people. With BOP and the LRMP, which is great, because the use of acronyms can be immensely reassuring. And they have an oil spill response plan and an occupant safety research partnership, which indicates forethought, preparation. To be fair, banging up the hole with golf balls and mud, that did sound less impressive. Or absorbing the oil using stockings filled with human hair. It's medieval, that. And does it mean we should send hair? Would that prove we are concerned and wish to be helpful? But I'd send my hair. And then there are converts with buckets and spades and that really important saw blade that just got stuck, couldn't cut the pipe, and then putting a cap on a cap. This does not sound effective, convincing. But leaks, even just domestic ones, they are difficult. I'm not unsympathetic. I mean, I have one in under my kitchen sink and it drips and it drips and I don't like to think about it. And it's only water and only a bit, but it's also never ending, and it will eventually lead to rot, and then who knows, I'll be doing the washing up of an evening and probably finish by dropping clear through the weakened joists and floorboards and into Mrs. Briar's flat, which she won't like. I ought to be proactive, but I'm not. I don't give it my attention. I watch the spill, even though it isn't my fault. Except I do use power, and I am a person, and it is sort of a suffering my species could not help but inflict. And then again, it did also break the last financial straw for us here, and I will soon be redundant, even though it isn't my fault. It hurt me anyway, because we're connected no matter what. Everyone is. All along, I had no idea of what I'm joined to. For good or ill, I never knew. I used to, thought I understood. There used to be Arthur and me, and we were us. We fitted. And that may or may not have made him beautiful. Certainly, he was beautiful. And it wasn't unknown that he said, I was too. Although he only ever saw me when I was with him, and that made a difference. That made a good, good change. Not the only change we got, of course. He was a smoker, Arthur, and loved a big, heavy breakfast, and sitting in hides with binoculars is not exactly exercise, and these are sad facts to ignore. To imagine they could be free from consequences. But we both lacked forethought and preparation. We were people. We were distracted. He always used to say I should cut out the coffee, but his hands shook too. And then comes the day when he's in his relatively joyless office and it happens. He falls with his heart. Well, he couldn't fall without it, could he? He had a remarkable heart, but what would you say? Burdened. Eventually they had to give him a new valve. I didn't like to think about it. His having to be opened that much cut into the depth of himself, and then dressings and drains and wounds, and I couldn't visit in case of infection. But it went well, initially. Well. And then there was bleeding. He's on anticoagulants for the valve, mechanical thing, because he's young, relatively young. Built to outlast him. Anyone. Tested. One op and you're done. Fixed. But he's bleeding internally. Unreachably bleeding. Never ending the bleeding. He was going to waste. They kept looking for the sources. No acronyms, at least I don't remember any. And the blood obscured the origins of its loss, which was a problem. They went in again. They talked about survival and percentages and days and hours and minutes beyond which it might be fine. Vague estimates. Terrible and vague. That was in the summer too. All done with here by August. What I'd seen, touched, been used to. I can check the progress of the slick. It's in the loop current now, getting fast, getting far. The scum. Keeps making me think of this friend we had, a fireman. He had to break in sometimes and deal with suicides, the ones who slash their wrists in the bath. He said after a while the blood gathers on the water, stinking and thick. Not a subject to consider, but when I'm at home, when I've nothing to do, when I'm by myself, what should I consider? That I won't call a plumber? Not ever? Because I'm still waiting for Arthur to fix the leak, because he would, because he did better, was better, much better than me. And I am not the only one. I know I'm not the only one. But I want my life back. I can check the progress of the slick. It's in the loop current now, getting fast, getting far. The scum. Keeps making me think of this friend we had, a fireman. He had to break in sometimes and deal with suicides, the ones who slash their wrists in the bath. He said after a while the blood gathers on the water, stinking and thick. Not a subject to consider, but when I'm at home, when I've nothing to do, when I'm by myself, what should I consider? That I won't call a plumber? Not ever? Because I'm still waiting for Arthur to fix the leak, because he would, because he did better, was better, much better than me. And I am not the only one. I know I'm not the only one. But I want my life back. I want my life back. We all do.
I Want My Life Back was written and performed by A.L. Kennedy. The producer was Justine Willett.